How does what happened on two ends of Washington's Pennsylvania Avenue yesterday alter the policy and economic calculus? I'm David Brancaccio. The White House released a statement attributed to Donald Trump after Congress had voted, saying the president now supports an orderly transition of power. The statement went on to say, quote, "While this represents the end of the greatest first term in presidential history, it's only the beginning of our fight to make America great again." Others now see not just Trump hardliners who stormed the Capitol yesterday, but also Trumpism as disgraced. Ian Bremmer is president and founder of the political risk consultancy, the Eurasia Group.
I think it's much deeper than Trumpism. I think what we have to understand is that today the United States is not only the most powerful country in the world, but it's also by far the most politically divided, the most politically dysfunctional of all of the world's advanced industrial democracies. What we saw yesterday could not have happened in Canada, in France, in Germany, in Japan. And we have to ask ourselves why. How did we get to the point that the institutions in the U.S. were so eroded? President Trump says the election was rigged. He's wrong. He's lying to the American people. But the institutions do indeed feel rigged to the average Americans. And until that changes, the depths of this illegitimacy, inequality, are going to persist. They're even potentially going to deepen, especially on the back of this truly horrific crisis that is not just political, but of course also economic and health. And President Biden, President-elect Biden, takes office in the teeth of that.
And you make the point that that erodes, as we move forward, some of Joe Biden's legitimacy. But that'll play out in the policy agenda?
In the near term, the fact that both of these Georgia Senate seats will swing to the Democrats, I think actually why the markets have risen, that gives President-elect Biden the ability to pass a lot more stimulus and relief for not just the average Americans, but also for blue states and red states. And that matters. But it's a Band-Aid. And we need to recognize it as a Band-Aid. It does not address the deeper structural ills that exist in the American political system right now. That's well beyond a question for just the near-term policy agenda for the incoming president.
Ian Bremmer, president and founder of the political risk consultancy Eurasia Group, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Big business groups and corporations are condemning President Trump after the violence at the Capitol yesterday. Some of them were among Trump's biggest supporters, and one influential business group is calling for Trump's early removal using the cabinet and the vice president's constitutional authority. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer joins us now from Washington. Nancy, let's start with one of the biggest organizations there, the National Association of Manufacturers.
Right, David, they're a lobbying group and they represent big and small manufacturers. Some of their biggest members are Pfizer, Toyota, and Exxon.
Big employers. What did the association say in its statement?
It did not mince words, David. The statement said this is sedition and should be treated as such. And the association called for the president to be removed under the 25th Amendment.
What about some other business leaders? What do they have to say?
We heard from the heads of the biggest banks and financial firms, like Jamie Dimon, CEO of JP Morgan Chase. Also, Goldman Sachs issued a statement. And the head of the giant private equity group Blackstone, Steven Schwarzman, who's been a big donor to Republican causes, he said the outcome of the election is very clear and there must be a peaceful transition of power. Of course, a peaceful transition is key to a functioning economy.
All right, Nancy, thank you. Markets. The Dow future is up 97 points, 0.3%. The S&P future up 0.4%. The NASDAQ future up 0.6% now. The cryptocurrency Bitcoin, in total, all of it, is now worth more than $1 trillion after hitting a record high over the last 24 hours. 37,400 and change now. With now less than 2 weeks left of Trump in power, his Department of Labor just finalized a rule to make it easier for companies to treat workers as independent contractors as opposed to employees. It's set to go into effect in early March. Marketplace's Samantha Fields reports on what this could mean for workers and for companies.
There are a whole lot of benefits and protections that come with being an employee of a company rather than a gig worker, including some pretty basic ones like being paid the minimum wage,
overtime pay, all kinds of workers' comp, access to health insurance.
Rebecca Given is a professor at Rutgers University. She says the new rule would let companies like Uber, DoorDash, and others reclassify large numbers of employees as contractors.
It outsources a lot of the costs and the responsibilities onto the workers. It saves money and it increases profit, and it denies those workers protections.
Given says it's likely the Biden administration will delay or roll back the rule. But David Weil, who ran the Department of Labor's wage and hour division under President Obama, says the issue isn't going anywhere.
The debate of who should be protected by our workplace laws is very much a debate we're going to be having a lot of over the next few years,
both on the state and federal level. I'm Samantha Fields for Marketplace.
And with more economic stimulus presumed with both houses of Congress, plus the White House presided over by Democrats, the 10-year bond yield, the benchmark, is still above 1% now, first time since March. I'm David Brancaccio, Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.